Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording in our studio at the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. We open our show with some hot local news. Hear why signatures turned in for a ballot initiative that would overturn San Diego's minimum wage ordinance are in dispute. Learn why county supervisors voted to dissolve a local fire district. Hear an alert for parents about a man who tried to lure a 12-year-old girl in Alpine into his vehicle. Learn why San Diego City Council's limits on public testimony may violate the state's open government law. And get details on a new ordinance to restrict electronic cigarettes and vaping in San Diego. Plus, we'll have news about a longtime school board member in East County who has passed away, as well as details on an accident in Alpine that has left an elderly woman hospitalized. Our newsmaker interview today is with Albie Quinlan at San Diego 350. She'll be telling you about the world's largest climate march, including a march in San Diego on September 21st, along with what you can do to help reduce your impact on global climate change. In our second half hour, on our People Power segment, Janice Russell will interview representatives from Boys to Men, a La Mesa organization with a program to help fatherless boys that has now gone national. Plus, they'll tell you about the 100 Wave Challenge coming up September 21st to help support the Boys to Men Mentoring Program. And then on Destination East County, Rebecca Williamson and Leon Thompson will share information on some exciting festivals and events coming up this week, from a music festival in Julian to a kids' care fest in La Mesa with free healthcare screenings for your children. Plus, they'll have previews of next week's hottest happenings, so stay tuned. For all this and more on today's East County Magazine radio show.
Opponents of San Diego's new minimum wage ordinance have gathered 56,000 signatures, more than the 34,000 needed to qualify the measure for the June 2016 ballot. The registrar is currently working to verify the signatures. If it qualifies, the wage increase will be put on hold until voters weigh in. San Diego Chamber of Commerce CEO and former mayor Jerry Sanders led the coalition to put the measure on the ballot. KUSI quoted Sanders as saying, quote, "San Diego voters have spoken, and they want the 44% wage increase placed on the ballot. In spite of unprecedented opposition from union bosses, we are proud to announce the Small Business Coalition has turned in over 56,000 signatures," unquote. Sanders claims petition gatherers were harassed, but supporters of the minimum wage have previously caught petition gatherers on video lying to deceive voters. They were telling voters that the initiative would raise the minimum wage, not block a minimum wage hike that already was approved by the city council. Councilman Todd Gloria, author of the minimum wage increase, released a statement that said, quote, "Considering the expense and deceit that big business poured into this campaign, I am not surprised that this many signatures were collected," unquote. While the registrar works to verify signatures on 12 boxes full of petitions in the next 38 days, Gloria says supporters of the minimum wage are, quote, "going over 2,000 forms sent in by those who signed a petition and now want their names removed," unquote. If there is an election, it will not be until June of 2016. The wage hikes that were to begin in January will be put on hold until after the election. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barrena.
This is Leon Thompson with a crime beat report on East County Magazine. Sheriff's deputies are searching for a man who reportedly tried to lure a 12-year-old Alpine girl into his car on Wednesday as she walked home from the Alpine Youth Center with her little brother on Arnold Way in Alpine. The girl's mother told the Alpine Community Network that the man asked, "Where is your mother? Come here," then sped off when a neighbor confronted him. The victim's mother told the Alpine Community Network that a man resembling the suspect had been seen by neighbors driving very slowly and acting suspiciously. She provided a description of the suspect and vehicle gathered from neighbors and kids in the area. The vehicle is described as an older model matte gray car that could have primer or spray paint. Its roof is a darker shade of gray, and it may have a cracked windshield. The suspect is described as a white, middle-aged male, about 35 or 40 years old, unshaven with very thin arms and a full-sleeve tattoo on his arm. Witnesses describe him as very nervous-looking. The Alpine Sheriff has asked that if you see the vehicle, try to get a license number and report it immediately by calling 911. Be sure to state that this vehicle has been reported as suspicious previously. You can report any suspicious activity by calling 858-565-5200. To receive crime alerts in your neighborhood, visit crimemapping.com.
This is Miriam Raftery with a hot story that has a sad ending for community members in one local fire department that has been plagued by ethical issues. The San Pasqual Volunteer Fire Department has been officially dissolved by the San Diego Board of Supervisors. Supervisors took this dire action after a fire board member was caught telling firefighters to steal water from a fire hydrant owned by the city of Poway. The water was not needed to fight fires. Instead, San Pasqual Fire delivered the purloined water to a friend of the board, to a friend of a board member whose well had run dry. The board member, Charles Diltz, asked supervisors to postpone their decision until after fire season is over, but the supervisors refused, citing a sheriff's investigation and violation of the public trust by the fire department. San Pasqual's fire station will now be run by the County Fire Authority, which plans to replace some of the vehicles as well. Supervisors insisted that fire and medical services for the community will not be negatively impacted. The San Pasqual Department has provided mutual aid to help fight fires countywide, including conflagrations in East County, such as the Vallecitos Lightning Fires, according to the district website. The water was delivered in a water tender being used to train volunteer firefighters. It was taken to Tom Carter, who had offered to pay the department for it, said Diltz, who made what he now calls a poor decision. Diltz has already paid a $10,000 fine to the city of Poway for the theft, which was caught on camera by a Poway Public Works Department employee, UT San Diego reported. The truck, which holds 2,500 gallons, reportedly made several trips. The department has claimed it thought that Carter had a permit. Diltz has said he was merely trying to help a community member in need and called his actions an honest mistake. But Supervisor Diane Jacob, who chairs the Board of Supervisors, disagreed. She said, "We can no longer rely on the leadership of the San Pasqual District." She noted that stealing water from a public hydrant to fill a private well is a crime. This isn't the first time that the district's board has been involved in controversy. Chief David Davis, who formerly headed the San Pasqual Fire District, was removed several months ago. After his removal, the board sold him a 1996 suburban vehicle with 200,000 miles on it for just $1. The San Pasqual representatives have said that the Suburban needed numerous repairs. However, even scrap metal value would be significantly more than a dollar on a standard vehicle. Davis has offered to return the vehicle, which he says would have to be towed away. The department's website states that its mission is to serve the community with integrity and ethics. That mission is now forever tarnished by the actions of its leaders. The dispute over water rustling by the San Pasqual Fire Department comes at a time when California is facing its worst drought on record, and water is a precious commodity. At Tuesday's meeting of the supervisors, the county's general manager of the public safety group, Ron Lane, made clear that water rustling by firefighters entrusted to protect the public will not be tolerated. These investigations determined that the leadership of the San Pasqual Fire Department committed a series of violations not only as contractors with the county, but violations of the law, he told supervisors, adding, "These actions have been referred to the district attorney for possible prosecution."
San Diego City Council meets twice a week, but allows public comments on non-agenda only once a week on Tuesdays. That may be illegal, violating requirements of the Ralph M. Brown Act for Open Government, says City Attorney Jan Goldsmith. The issue was raised in a lawsuit filed against the city by land use lawyer Craig Sherman. The Times of San Diego reports that Goldsmith told the council the matter needs to be investigated. The limit on public comments has been in effect since a 2001 legal opinion by then-city attorney Casey Gwynn. But Gwynn says that opinion cited no legal authority and that an investigation is needed to determine whether the rule can withstand a legal challenge. Council plans a closed-door session to discuss the matter this week. Meanwhile, a deal reached with Sherman will stop the lawsuit from proceeding if council agrees to all public comment on topics of the public's choosing every day that the council meets. Reporting for the East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Paula Oswald.
San Diego City Council has passed an ordinance to regulate electronic cigarettes just as tobacco is already regulated. The measure now heads to Mayor Kevin Falconer for signature. If signed into law, the ordinance will require store owners to get a permit from police for selling e-cigarettes. You won't be able to buy e-cigarettes, vaping devices, or related paraphernalia through vending machines. E-cigarettes, also known as vapor inhalers, will be banned in restaurants, sports arenas, theaters, parks, and other public places where smoking tobacco products is already banned. Vaping will also be prohibited in daycare centers, including daycare facilities and private residences. Smoking in vehicles, vaping lounges, and private homes will remain legal, City News Service reports. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barrena.
Former La Mesa Spring Valley School District Board member Penny Hallgren has passed away. Hallgren served on the school board for a decade, from 1994 until January 2013. She resigned to move to Arcadia in Los Angeles County to be with her boyfriend and started a quilting business there. A longtime La Mesa resident, Hallgren also served on the board of the East County YMCA for 16 years and was actively involved with the La Mesa Rotary Club as well. Rob Savageau, regional vice president of the YMCA for San Diego County, said in an email to board members that Hallgren's concern for our community and her generosity positively impacted hundreds of families we serve. Savageau received news of Hallgren's passing from her daughter, Stephanie Hallgren, who said that she and her husband were with her mother when she passed away as peacefully as possible. She wrote that she was able to bring a smile to her mother's face by reading her cards and emails and playing voicemails left by friends and community members here in East County. She added, "It was such a humbling experience to hear how much she impacted so many lives in La Mesa and around the world with her work on the La Mesa Spring Valley School Board, YMCA Board, Rotary, and her quilting business." There will not be a memorial service for Penny Hallgren in accordance with her wishes. Her family suggests gifts to the YMCA, one of her favorite charities, instead of flowers. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
An elderly woman was seriously injured after the vehicle she was driving flew off a freeway in Alpine on Monday, September 15th. Lou Russo, a member of the Alpine Community Planning Group, told East County Magazine that he was on his way home from work when a car came off I-8 and landed in front of his truck on Alpine Boulevard around 3 p.m. The vehicle overturned, and the victim was transported to a trauma unit in critical condition, the incident commander stated. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barrena.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording in our studio in the East County Wellness Center here in El Cajon. My very special guest today is Albie Quinlan, who is with Volunteer San Diego 350, and she's going to be telling us all about the People's Climate March, a global event that's also taking place here in San Diego on September 21st. Albie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Miriam. I'm glad to be here.
So tell us, what exactly is the People's Climate March and why is it being held here?
So the People's Climate March, the biggest part of it is going to be in New York City. In New York City, they're expecting over 100,000 people and maybe a lot more than that. And it's focused on climate summit that's happening at the United Nations. Mm. So it is time for us to tell our elected leaders to act on climate and move to a clean energy future. So that's happening in New York City, and there are going to be over 1,500 actions around the world in over 130 countries.
Wow.
So San Diego is part of that.
I've heard some of the organizers say they hope this will be the largest climate march in the history of the world.
I don't think there's any doubt of that. I'm pretty sure that's true.
What else do you help to accomplish with this march? And are there some specifics that you'd like to tell us about what's going to be happening at the San Diego event?
Well, there's a lot we want to accomplish. Let me tell you about the specifics about the San Diego march, because I think those are really important. So I'll start with the specifics about San Diego, because that's where we are. The event is on September 21st, which is Sunday, and it will start at 12:30 at City Hall, which is at 202 C Street. It's going to start off with a welcome by Todd Gloria, who's the president of the San Diego City Council. Mm-hmm. And he's going to speak primarily about the importance of a strong climate action plan. So climate action plans are mandated by the state, but the city can kind of decide how they want to do it.
Right.
And we want it done really, really well so that it has a strong influence on the climate. And then the march, which in total will be 1.2 miles, will move on to America Plaza, which is a transit hub. And there, Monique Lopez will speak, and she's the policy advocate for the Environmental Health Coalition. And she's going to talk about transportation choices and policies, including transit, biking, and carpooling. And of interest, kind of along that line, is that before the march even starts, there will be four bike rides coming from four different parts of San Diego. They'll start one at San Diego State, one at University of San Diego, one in University City, and one at Mission Bay. And so those bikers will all converge at City Hall and be part of this march as it goes along.
Very good.
Yeah.
What would you say to those skeptics out there who still are not convinced about global warming? Can you bring us up to speed a little bit on some of the latest scientific findings out there?
Well, probably the easiest piece of information to grasp is that 97% of climate scientists, so these are people who study climate, that's their work.
Right.
97% of them agree that global warming is happening, that global warming is a huge problem, and that global warming is man-made or human caused.
Yeah.
The change that has happened, and there are all sorts of graphs, the change that has happened since the Industrial Revolution is huge and can't be accounted for by anything else.
And it seems to be accelerating. I know I've seen some things coming out of the United Nations now on climate, where they're
right.
saying that we may actually be at the point of irreversible climate change. It's really scary.
That is really a huge problem. And yesterday, PricewaterhouseCoopers, which is a huge international accounting firm, came out with a report. So they're the kind of people that we think might be, you know, kind of in with the big boys.
Yeah, big business. If anybody
right.
would have an incentive
right.
not to want to have to
yes.
spend money on climate
so
action.
They said, and I'm quoting here, the world's major economies are increasingly failing to do what's needed to limit global warming to 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit above pre-industrial levels. That was the target that was agreed to at the 2009 climate mm-hmm. summit. And they're saying that at current rates, we're headed towards 7.2 degrees Fahrenheit by the end of the century,
wow.
twice the agreed upon rate.
Where does the name San Diego 350 come from?
So 350 parts per million is the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that's considered, and I put the word acceptable in quotes, the acceptable amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere in order to avoid very serious climate disaster, climate-caused disaster. So that's where the 350 comes from. It is of note that we have surpassed 400. We think we're at 401 now.
Climate change is not only about global warming. That's kind of a misnomer, right? To what degree is the extreme drought that we're having in California right now, for example, or the flurry of severe hurricanes that we've been seeing in recent years, including, I might add, this wild weather that tore up property at my house yesterday in the Mount Helix La Mesa area that so many people are talking about. To what degree is that reflective, do you believe, of climate change?
Well, I think one of the problems is you can't take any one event and say that this is climate change.
Right.
Because sometimes there's a snowstorm and sometimes there's a heat wave.
Sure.
It's the compilation of these events, the compilation, the fact that the last 8 months in San Diego are the hottest on record since records have been kept, that there is a serious drought all across the country. It's not just in California. The superstorms like Katrina and Sandy, the wildfires. So the wildfires have greatly increased, and California or San Diego has increased its season from October, November to the entire year.
Right.
Wildfire season.
So for those of our listeners out there in East County, the fire danger is a really giant wake-up call. I know I've heard fire chiefs talk about this.
Right.
They don't seem to have any doubt about this.
No, it's scary thinking of Santa Ana season coming along.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So why do you think that a bunch of people out marching in the streets will make a difference? What can be accomplished from what's going to be going on the 21st?
I think that our leaders have a potential to kind of work in their offices and listen to themselves and each other and their staff. And when hundreds of thousands of people get out on the street and say, this is unacceptable, I think it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are more inclined to listen. So I think that's why we're out there. And one thing that's really important to note is that this is a very diverse community of folks that are going to be out in San Diego and in New York. So represent people from health areas, civic areas, transportation areas, labor. And so
that's an interesting point, because one thing we've heard is sometimes people have voiced concern that there could be loss of jobs if there's a transition to renewable energy. Obviously, we're not going to have people out there working on the drilling platforms offshore, for instance, if we say we have to use less oil.
Right, but can you imagine the people that would be needed if we had rooftop solar on every house in San Diego? Lots and lots
right.
of jobs.
Those are local jobs, and those are good paying jobs.
Absolutely.
We don't have a whole lot of oil drillers here in San Diego. In fact, I don't think we have a single one.
Luckily.
But we have a lot of solar jobs.
So another quote that I'd like to say, talking about jobs, this is from the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 569. So here, they say, with the right policies in place, we can put thousands to work building the 21st century infrastructure of the future. They think that we need to make this change.
What happens if the politicians don't listen, if the countries around the world don't start taking this seriously very, very soon?
Well, that's a hard thing to talk about. There's a book written called The Sixth Extinction by Elizabeth Colbert, who writes for The New Yorker. She's talking seriously about an extinction, and this is an extinction of from the insects to the mammals, and humans are mammals. There's a serious possibility that there could be, first of all, huge social unrest because people will be displaced for lack of water or because water has overcome their homes.
Yeah, potential for wars over, for example, resources, food.
War over resources. So that's the intermediate. And some people really do fear and believe that there really is a potential. The earth will survive.
Mm-hmm.
The earth is regenerative.
But we might all go the way of the dinosaurs.
We could.
Wow.
We could.
Apart from waiting on the politicians to take action, which sometimes can be a long wait, what can we as individuals do to do our fair share in terms of trying to reduce our use of greenhouse gases and reduce our impact on the climate?
So at the climate march here in San Diego, we're going to ask people to sign a pledge card, and they can choose what they want to pledge to, but the pledges include driving less, biking more, walking more, taking public transportation, eating less meat, most of us aren't aware that the livestock industry produces a fifth of worldwide greenhouse gas emissions.
Wow.
That's pretty stunning. So it's more than transportation. Mm-hmm. So eating less meat, we're not saying go vegan.
Yeah, but that's a simple thing that everybody can do, a couple of meatless meals a week, for instance.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yes. Use less water. We're in an extreme drought.
Mm-hmm. And we should be doing that anyway, apart from climate change. There just isn't enough water to go around right now.
I agree. And a fifth of California's energy goes to transport, treat, and heat water. So it's not just like there's water. We don't think about energy being used to get us water.
Yeah.
Support sustainable businesses. So your dollar is a vote. And then the last thing, and we really want everybody to do this, is to get involved in one way or another. Participate in some local climate action efforts. Vote only for candidates who commit to real action on climate change. So find out from the candidate that you might be voting for.
It should be noted, we do have some representatives in this region who don't believe in climate change.
Mm-hmm.
I'll mention one. But Assemblyman Brian Jones actually invited a famous climate change denier to speak at a conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that startled a lot of people locally. So,
and, you know, I'm understanding that there are, I don't know about Brian Jones, but there also are climate change deniers who are not in their own minds deniers, but politically, it is so unpopular.
Well, in this case, this guy had actually been debunked on a lot of things, not only about climate change. He was claiming to be a member of the House of Lords. He wasn't. So, you know, he wasn't exactly a credible guy. And, of course, some of these sources also turn out to be on the payroll of the oil companies because they have a very strong vested interest.
And
in
Microsoft
opposing
and
this.
AT&T and UPS, they say one thing, and their money goes elsewhere.
Yeah, so my advice to listeners is really do the homework, and whatever side you're listening to, check their credentials. You know, who do you want to believe? Climate scientists, 97% of the world's climate scientists, or deniers who very often are on the payroll of the industries that would be hurt by moving toward cleaner energies. As far as elected representatives' responsibilities, you also have a list here of things that you believe public officials should be working toward.
Right, so that would be talking about here in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And we are asking for a really rapid transition from fossil fuels to renewables and energy efficiency. And we know that that's completely possible. We're asking for, as I spoke about before, a strong, measurable, and enforceable climate action plan in San Diego. We believe that we need affordable and convenient mass transit and healthy communities with clean air, clean water. Mass transit it's actually a justice issue. People need to be able to get to their work. There are a lot of people in this city who cannot, and this county, who cannot afford either a car or gas for the car, and they don't have access to mass transit. And then we're asking for the creation of green jobs locally in renewables and energy efficiency. And I also would like to tell you who the speakers are going to be.
Yes, please do.
Okay. So after we move from America Plaza, we'll end up at the County Administration Park, where there's going to be a rally from 2:30 to 3:30. And the speakers there are going to be Richard Barrera, who is the Secretary Treasurer of San Diego and Imperial County's Labor Council,
mm-hmm.
and a board member of the San Diego Unified School District. David Alvarez will be speaking. He's a city council member. And Kevin Beiser, who's president of the San Diego Unified School District. And then we also have interfaith reflection with five different faiths represented. So it gives you an idea of kind of the variety of peoples and organizations that are involved in this.
Yes, a very broad coalition.
Right.
Listeners, if you've tuned in late, we're talking with Aubie Quinlan with San Diego 350 about the upcoming People's Climate March, which is a global event, and there's going to be a march here in San Diego on September 21st, starting at 12:30 in downtown San Diego in front of City Hall. Aubie, is there anything else you'd like to add that you would like our listeners to know?
What has impressed me most is a quote from Naomi Klein, who has written extensively and is about to publish another book. And she says, among many other things that I think are pretty brilliant, let ourselves absorb the fact that the Industrial Revolution that led to our society's prosperity is now destabilizing the natural systems on which all of life depends.
Okay. Listeners, you can get more information about this at the peoplesclimatesd.org, which has all the details about the upcoming People's Climate March on September 21st.
And please RSVP. It's right on the first page.
Very good. I want to thank you very much, Albi, for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Thanks, Miriam. It's a pleasure to be here.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. This is Miriam Raftery with a local politics report. A debate has been announced between Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter and his Democratic opponent, James Kimber. The debate is set for Friday, September 26th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Cuyamaca College's Performing Arts Center in Rancho San Diego. Both candidates are veterans, so the debate will be sponsored by two military and veterans organizations, Veterans Campaign and the National Association for Uniformed Services.
This is Janice Russell, host of People Power, profiling people and organizations making a positive difference in our community and our world. This is Janice Russell with East County Magazine and People Power. I'm here with Craig McLean and Joe Sigurdsson from Boys to Men Mentoring Network that started in La Mesa and now is spreading all over the world. We're here to talk about their program and their upcoming event, the 100 Wave Challenge, that's taking place this Saturday, September 20th. Who started this program and how effective has it been?
Janice, both of us started it 18 years ago right here in La Mesa.
Yep.
And it's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen with about effective. It changes boys' lives and it helps them become better men, and it's just an amazing program.
Yeah, and we had no idea it was going to go where it's gone. We started it just for some neighborhood kids. My son was 13, and he had a group of his buddies that were always at our house. And, you know, the reason they were there is they didn't have dads at home. So, you know, basically we started, we wanted to give these guys a place to go and a chance to talk about what's going on in their lives. And that's really how it started. I was just the sounding board for these four fatherless teenage boys that were hanging out at my house all the time.
And then, you know, we started it 18 years ago, and we had no idea that 33% of teenage boys are growing up without dads.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And also how hard it is for them. So once we found that out and saw these boys coming through the program, that's when we decided we were going to really do this for a living, and since that time it spread to around the world to four or five countries, four continents, and it's just because it is so amazing.
Yeah.
Very good. And how do boys hear about this program?
Well, for the most part, they hear about it through counselors, administrators, teachers, they refer them to the program. So we actually do two types of programs. We do in-school programs with boys that are referred to us. And then we generally have an after-school program in that same school. And those are boys that come voluntarily and are looking for some male role models and some support.
So, but let me clarify just a bit. We are an in-school program and, mm-hmm. and a group mentoring program. Right now we go into 14 schools, and we have programs during the school day and after school. So we just go and we sit in a circle with these boys. 75% are fatherless, and we build community, and we tell the truth, and we talk about issues that are going on in our lives and let them tell us what's going on in their lives.
How are you different than other mentoring programs?
The most important word is community. We create a community of mentors, so we're not asking the boys and the mentors to go it alone. There's a whole team that supports them, you know, five or six mentors to 20 boys, and so the boys get to see different role models, and they get to see their peers and hear from their peers and talk about maybe the same problems that they have going on, and then they understand that they're not alone in their feelings. And that's huge.
Yeah, and the beauty of having the group mentoring is that you're instead of one perspective, these guys are getting five or six perspectives on the same kinds of issues, because everybody handles divorce, grief, abandonment in different ways. And so when we're being honest about the choices we made as young men and how we handled situations and the consequences we paid and how that panned out over a lifetime, they know that we know what we're talking about. And somebody may react to divorce in a lot of anger and acting out. And somebody may react to divorce wanting to shut down and withdraw and maybe start doing drugs or start writing music. It just depends. And so they're hearing different men's perspective on what we went through as young men, and then that gives them permission to talk about the choices they're making right now, the price they're paying for those choices, and then they get a chance to change the consequences by choosing a new direction, getting support and accountability for their new choices.
Very good. Can you give us a couple success stories?
Oh, yeah. Thousands. But one that comes to mind is Joe Ross. When Joe started our program, he was angry. And the reason he was angry is because, and these are Joe's words, he said, when my dad left when I was 2, I'd always thought that he would return. But at 11, I realized he wasn't coming back. And that's when I started getting in trouble. And that's when I stopped caring. And when we got Joe, that was at 12, he never smiled. He was very angry. He hardly ever talked. But he kept coming to the meetings because he knew something was in this. And finally, after a year, he started smiling again. And this was 5 years ago. Now Joe is a senior in high school, and he doesn't stop smiling.
Yeah, and he's playing sports, and he's fully engaged in his community and in his school, and he's just turned out to be this wonderful guy. But seriously, he was so angry and withdrawn that everybody was really afraid of him and afraid for him. Joe was going to be one of those statistics, one of those guys that didn't make it. And after even 6 months, we had teachers stopping us in the hall when we'd show up for school going, "What happened to Joe?" Like he's just turned into this, wonderful, charming, expressive kid. And he was just totally shut down.
And then a different story is Jeremiah, who was in Joe's class. And Jeremiah was getting okay grades. He didn't have a dad. His mom was in prison. And he was doing all right. But he wasn't taking responsibility for himself. He was blaming everything on others. So he was getting C's and D's, but he didn't really have any direction, didn't really have a dream. And in the Boys and Men groups, he said his dream was to go to Morehouse College, which is a prestigious black college in Atlanta. Well, 5 years later, Jeremiah is now in Morehouse College. He got a full scholarship.
Academic scholarship.
Yeah, he took responsibility for getting himself there. And now this young man is going to be a success story.
Yeah. Yeah, and we got tons of more. How many stories do you want? Because I could go on and on about this stuff.
That's a good amount, thank you.
Okay.
How can those interested become mentors?
We're always looking for good men. If you want to call the Boys to Men Central office,
or go to our website at www.boystomen.org and click on be a mentor, and we got all the information in there.
Right.
But that's even farther on that question is, what does it take to be a mentor?
Right.
You know, we're not looking for perfect guys. We're just looking for guys who are willing to show up at a local school for 1 hour a day, and we also have evening groups, and just join our community. So, you know, the cool thing is we're not asking you to go it alone. And, you know, if that's something that calls you, you know, go to our website and check it out, boystomen.org.
And one source of funding is the annual 100 Wave Challenge coming up this Saturday, September 20th. So what is the goal of this challenge?
Okay, so the 100 Wave Challenge works like a walkathon. We have recruited surfers. What do we got, 230 surfers? 230 surfers have registered for the 100 Wave Challenge. We've built landing pages for each one of those surfers, and they have in the landing page, they get to tell their story as to why they're supporting Boys to Men and why they're doing this challenge. And they send that link out to family and friends, and people click and donate a buck a wave, 25 cents a wave, they make it, or a flat donation. And the funding that we get from this 100 Wave Challenge basically sets our budget for the year. This is our big event, this is our big fundraiser, and this has allowed us to go from one school 5 years ago to 14 schools this year with four or five in development.
Yeah, and the important thing about this is we don't charge the schools because the schools don't have any money. We don't charge the kids because the kids we work with don't have any money. So this is our big fundraiser, and it really works. And we have men and women surfing, and we have boys and girls. We have an 11-year-old girl who's raised $2,000. We have a 12-year-old boy who's raised $3,500.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
And those kids have really good dads, you know. So they're doing it out of like a sense of responsibility and gratitude for what has been granted to them. They get it. They've gone to the website. They've looked at the videos. They've got an appreciation of the gifts that are in their lives, and they're giving back by doing this.
And you can actually see this girl, Delaney Cooper, did a video. It's a great 1 minute video. It's on our website, boystomen.org. You can watch it right now.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and she's fantastic. She's just a dynamo. And yeah, so the 100 Wave Challenge is this Saturday, and go to 100wave.org. We've got a team of 20 of our boys are going to be participating in it, and we have a boys team. So if you want to donate, go to 100wave.org, click, and it says find a surfer. Go find the boys team and support our boys that spent all summer learning how to surf so that they can participate in this event.
Yeah, you can actually donate to Joe Ross. He's surfing in the event.
There you go.
Look up Joe Ross. He's already raised $1,000.
Yeah.
And how long does it take to plan this event?
The beauty of this is it all happens during the summer when we're kind of off because the schools are off. So we work on this for 2 months, and then we go back and do our job for the school year, and we don't have any other fundraisers. You know, a lot of nonprofits have to struggle and all, do a lot of work that's not in their mission. But this, like, fits our mission because, you know, we do it in the summer. We take the kids out. We teach them how to surf. A lot of these kids have never been to the beach before. And at the end of the summer, they're surfers. And they're so proud. Yeah. And then they get to come and also surf in the 100 Wave Challenge. So, yeah, It fits perfectly with their program.
And this is also a way for us to engage our supporters, our surfers who are raising money for these kids. Over the summer, we host these surf nights and barbecue nights, and the participants of the Hunter Wave Challenge will come down and join us for a barbecue and a surf, and they'll meet some kids, and they'll get to work with kids, and they'll be part of the teaching process. And then next Saturday, they all get to surf together. So it's just all about building community. So while we're raising money, we're also building community. And we've gotten some fantastic mentors out of the Hunter Wave Challenge, guys that see what this is about, and they participate. And then they feel invested in it, and they want to do more. And so they sign up to mentor, and they start supporting our groups. And it's just a fabulous event. And like Craig says, totally fits our mission.
Sounds fun. And is there anything else that you would like to share with the listeners?
I think, you know, the most important thing for me is that, you know, we've got 33% of these boys that don't have the support they need. And it only costs us $500 a year to support these kids at this critical moment, which is 7th and 8th grade, mm-hmm. when they're turning into men, when they're making decisions, and one wrong decision or one right decision can change a lifetime. Right. And it costs about $2 million to incarcerate a man. We got 5% of U.S. male population in prison or on parole. And this program does something about that, and it works. And these kids deserve this. Right. So we've, you know, our mission is to be in every middle school in San Diego and then take it national, and we're headed that way. We just actually got a call from Montgomery Middle School yesterday, and they want us to start there. So we got to raise the money to do that. So it's, you know, these boys deserve it, and it works.
Thank you. This is Janice Russell with East County Magazine and People Power. I just interviewed Craig McLean and Joe Sigurdsson from Boys to Men Mentoring Network. For more information about this program and to sign up for the 100 Wave Challenge, go to www.boystomen.org. That's www.boystomen.org. You can also read the story about this program now on the East County Magazine website. Thank you.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This week's Destination East County has some hot musical and theater events, also marking the start of Hispanic Heritage Month celebrations. Plus, we'll have previews of coming attractions from a fiesta in Spring Valley to the Viejas Days Parade.
We'll have all these events and more, so stay tuned for another edition of East County Magazine's Destination East County.
On Friday night, September 19th, Sirens Crush Dance Band will perform at Downtown El Cajon's Dinner and a Concert. The event runs from 6 to 8 p.m. in Prescott Promenade in El Cajon.
Lemon Grove Historical Society and the Lemon Grove Oral History Project will celebrate local Hispanic heritage on September 20th from 1 until 4 p.m. in the Rosemary Putman Community Room of the Lemon Grove Library. The festive event will feature music, food, photo displays, presentations by a local artist and author, the videotaped reminiscence of Lemon Grove's pioneer Hispanic families, and more. This event is free and open to the public.
The Moxie Theater is launching its 10th anniversary season with the opening night, September 20th, featuring Liz Duffy Adams, A Discourse on the Wonders of the Invisible World. Adams' Dog Act was the very first Moxie Theater show back in 2005, 5 years before the company had even moved to its current Rolando Performance Space just west of La Mesa. For details and tickets, visit moxietheater.org.
You're invited to the 2014 Kids Care Fest, a free, family-oriented event featuring free health care screenings. This year's Kids Care Fest will be held on Saturday, September 20th at Briarcrest Park, 9001 Wakarusa Street, La Mesa. The event runs from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kids Care Fest is presented by the Grossmont Healthcare District, La Mesa Park and Recreation Foundation, and the City of La Mesa. Organizers expect more than 1,000 children will receive free, potentially life-saving health care screenings, including hearing, vision, and dental screenings. Free medical information will be available from doctors and pharmacists, plus the kids' free fingerprinting. You can also enjoy more free activities, including water safety, inflatable jumps and pony rides, demonstrations and displays from law enforcement and fire departments. For more information, visit kidscarefest.org.
A cultural celebration featuring music, dance, and cuisine of San Diego Somali Bantu community will be held on Saturday, September 20th, from 2 to 5 p.m. at the United Domestic Workers of America office, 4855 Seminole Drive, San Diego. All proceeds benefit the Somali Bantu Association of America's programs impacting refugees in our community. For information or tickets, contact 619-206-4000 or visit sbaoa.org.
For the 45th year, Julian celebrates the end of summer with music. The Julian Music Festival will be held at the Mangini Winery on September 20th from 1 until 8 p.m. This year's event features bluegrass to celebrate the festival's roots, western ballads to remember the past, as well as music by current songwriters and singers. Performers range from cool band Luke performing high-energy favors to Trails and Rails offering train songs, cowboy tunes, pop, swing, vocal harmonies, and whistling. For tickets and more information, visit julianmusicfestival.com.
Hot cars and spicy chili are all part of the Alpine Kiwanis 2014 annual car show and chili cook-off event, which also features a pancake breakfast. If you're revved up for the activities on Saturday, September 20th from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., you can visit the Alpine Community Center located at 1830 Alpine Boulevard in Alpine. If you're revved up for the festivities on Saturday, September 20th from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., you can visit the Alpine Community Center located at 1830 Alpine Boulevard in Alpine.
Music from the Middle East, a classical string quartet, contemporary tunes from Argentina, a pop, rock, and soul ensemble are among the performances set for Cuyamaca College's fall concert series that begins September 18th. The fall season gets underway with an Indonesian ensemble performing traditional music from West Java on bronze percussion instruments. A full list of performances and low-cost ticket details can be found at cuyamaca.edu/performingarts.
And now for a preview of coming attractions. Quilt trails highlight the unique culture of communities with displays of historical quilting art forms, encouraging tourism. Over 130 quilt trails exist across the U.S., and soon the Julian Backcountry Quilt Trail will become the first in Southern California. A ribbon-cutting ceremony for the opening of the Julian Backcountry Quilt Trail is planned for Thursday, September 25th at the Winola Pizza and Bistro in Julian. The trail will eventually extend for 30 miles in all directions, displaying historic quilt squares across rural East County.
Spring Valley will host its celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month on September 27th with the 9th annual Spring Valley Fiesta. The event is free and features entertainment, refreshments, inflatable children's jumper, video game truck, face painting, and community information booths. The lineup of entertainers includes Danza Azteca, Ballet Folklorica, La Prensa Middle School Jazz Band, DJ Lowrider Cars, and much, much more. The fiesta will be held at the Spring Valley Library.
September 28th is Viejas Days in Alpine, complete with a parade. The parade rolls out at 2 p.m. down Alpine Boulevard to the Alpine Creek Town Center, complete with floats, bands, and plenty of family fun.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County show on KNSJ, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
The last hearing on a proposed high-rise development in La Mesa ended in a shocker when an American Legion spokesman announced his organization was withdrawing its support as a co-applicant of the controversial Park Station at the Crossroads of La Mesa project. The project would be situated on a former auto dealership site at the intersection of University Avenue and Baltimore Drive, also bordered by Spring Street and Nebo Drive. Now Park Station's backers have submitted a revised plan without the American Legion as a co-applicant. The revised plan has scaled down the total number of residential units from 416 to 363, or alternatively would build a hotel with up to 250 rooms plus 113 residential units. At the last hearing, the vast majority of La Mesa residents who live in La Mesa voiced opposition to the 11-story high-rise project, voicing concerns over community. Those who spoke in favor were nearly all from outside the community. Supporters say the project will create needed housing and jobs. The height would require a variance from the area's current four-story limit for buildings in the vicinity of the historic downtown village. La Mesa's Planning Commission will hold a public hearing on the revised plan on Wednesday, October 1st in the City Council Chambers at 8130 Allison Avenue in La Mesa. The hearing starts at 7 p.m. with doors open at 6:30. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barrena.
This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.